You are incredible. And so tonight, as we open up your word, may we open up our hearts and our ears and our eyes to have what you have for us, to receive it in our hearts. And that we would grow, that our faith would be strengthened. And so tonight we pray that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep a good solid meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just say this. So oftentimes people read the Old Testament and they read accounts like this, Joshua chapter 6, where the walls of Jericho fall all the way down to the ground. They fall flat. And God did it. And then we read about God parting the Red Sea, and we read about God feeding the children of Israel with manna. And oftentimes people can take these stories, if they're fairy tales or fables, or if God is not the same today. And I would hope tonight for you and I that our faith would be strengthened through this chapter. That we, just like the children of Israel, just like Joshua, can take God at his word. And that's a challenge for all of us here tonight. Right off the bat, do you literally take God at his word? I tell you what, if you do, you'll have less stress in your life and worry and ulcers, all those things that come with unbelief. We need to take God at his word. My Bible tells me that he's the same yesterday, today, and always. He never changes. And he never runs out of ways to strengthen our faith and to just blow us away. But what you and I need to do is hold on to his word. These are the words of eternal life. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall I go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. And we can take every promise to the bank, every single one. And I would hope tonight, as we look at this wonderful chapter, that it just doesn't seem like some sort of a fairy tale or a fable. This is a real life account of what God did in the lives of the children of Israel. Why? Because they believed him at his word. And you know what? God can do the same thing in your life. He can bring down those walls in your life, whatever they might be. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, God can bring those walls down. But oftentimes, the reason the walls are still up is because of our unbelief. We fail to trust him at his word. And so Joshua was a man of great faith. That's why he was chosen by God. A man of great faith. Oftentimes we look at men like Joshua of great faith and we think, oh, that can only happen to Joshua. I got news for you. The same thing can happen in your life. You can be a man of great faith. You can be a woman of great faith. And if you're not, guess whose fault that is? It's not God's. He gives us all of promises. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We all have Bibles. And so it's up to us what our faith level is. And sometimes God will allow trials to come to strengthen our faith, to show his mighty hand faithful on our behalf. So Joshua was a man of great faith. As his replacement, Moses had laid hands upon him. There's nothing special about laying hands on someone. It just shows that you are imparting God's promise upon that person. Joshua was God's choice for leading the children of Israel into the promised land. We're on our way home. You and I are headed to the promised land. And our Joshua is Jehoshua, Jesus. He's paved the way all the way to heaven, to the promised land. And guess what? Part of that story is, you know, the rapture of the church will include a shofar, because the trump of God is going to sound. You know the rest of that story. The shofar is going to blow. We're talking about that today in the office. I wonder if it'll be ear-piercing when we hear the shofar blow, or if it'll be just light enough where we can hear it and know that we're out of here. I don't know. I can't wait to hear the shofar, the trump of God. And you know the amazing thing? Even those believers on this earth that are deaf are going to hear the trump of God, and they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with the rest of us. Joshua was God's choice for leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Jesus is going to lead us all the way home. Deuteronomy 34:9 tells us that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. And again, that wasn't just for Joshua. We have the person of the Holy Spirit. And we have the wisdom of God right here in this incredible book called the Bible. Godly wisdom. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got the full package. He did as the Lord commanded him. And that's our first challenge tonight. Do we walk in obedience to God's word? Do we walk according to his commands? And he makes it real simple. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those two things, you will fulfill all of his commandments. By loving God and by loving your fellow being, you won't be murdering, you won't be fornicating and doing all this other stuff that the Bible warns about. Joshua did as the Lord commanded him, and that's our challenge tonight. Are you a doer of God's word? And not just a hearer, deceiving yourselves, as James says. Not only did their leader heed the word of God, but the children of Israel heeded the word of God. Because Joshua is going to take what God gives him, and he's going to pass it on to the people on how they're going to bring the walls down in Jericho. And from a human perspective, of you know, it's just miraculous the way God does it. Joshua believed God at his word. He never wavered. He did all that the Lord commanded him, and so the time has come to put his faith in action. That is why you and I are to develop our faith and cause our faith to grow, because there's going to be a time, and I think we're in that time right now in America, when we're going to have to put our faith into action. We're going to have to trust God like never before. We've been spoiled. And now all of a sudden things are being taken away, and the quarantine, the masks, I'm not going to get into all that stuff tonight. But we are at a place in America, and even in, especially in California, that I have never seen before in my lifetime. Never. And you know what? God is showing me in his word some things that I've never really held on to before, that I need to hold on to now. Promises. And that's what happens. Faith drives fear out of my heart. Faith and fear can't dwell in the same place. You're either a man of faith and a woman of faith, or you got fear controlling your life. And fear comes from the devil, right out of the pit of hell. So the time has come. The destruction of Jericho. Jericho is said to be the oldest city in the world, in the history of the world. Jericho, they say, is the oldest. A little bit about Jericho. It's 5 miles inland from the Jordan River. And so last week, as they crossed over the Jordan River, it was another 5 miles for the children of Israel to march all the way to this mighty fortress, is what it was. It's almost 1,000 feet below sea level. I've been by there where the city of Jericho was. There's nothing there now. There's another Jericho, but it's not in the exact spot. It's also 10 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. We went through Jericho after we visited the Dead Sea and Qumran and all of those different places. And it's 17 miles south of Jerusalem. It will be the first city that Joshua and the Israelites will conquer when they enter Canaan. And it's a mighty fortress. I'll give you a little bit more on that in a moment. Years later, Jesus would visit the area, which was known as Jericho. And he will heal a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. Also, remember Zacchaeus, the little guy who was out on a limb? Jesus called him down and brought him salvation. So in the meantime, the time has come. Joshua has been given instructions from the Lord to arise, to cross over the Jordan. You remember that last week where the Lord stopped the water, he stopped the flow of the Jordan River, and all of the millions of Israelites went forth across the Jordan River on dry ground. No man would be able to stand before them, God told them. He told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. He told him that twice. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let me ask you a question. Do you hold on to those scriptures today? Do you really believe that? That no man is ever is to stand before you? He that's in us is greater than he that's in this world. We don't have to fear man. My Bible tells me that the fear of man is a snare. Yeah, not the fear of man. Fear God. Are you strong and are you of good courage in the times in which we live? Or are you afraid and dismayed? Do you really believe that the Lord is with you wherever you go? I'll tell you what, if you really believe that, you're going to be careful some of the places you go. And so at the close of chapter 5, Joshua lifts up his eyes and he looks, and there's a man, capital M, which speaks of deity, who stood before him, the commander of the Lord's army. And if the promises weren't enough, he has the commander of the Lord's army, who is Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state before he came into this world, the commander of the Lord. And my Bible tells me that Joshua fell on his face and worshiped him. It was the Lord. One final confirmation for Joshua and the children of Israel, that the Lord was his commander. And you know what? The same holds true today. The Lord is our commander in chief. When I was in Vietnam, my commander in chief was Tricky Dicky, Richard M. Nixon. Now I'm saved. My commander in chief is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Today we too, as did Joshua and the Israelites, have God's word, we have God's promises, as well as the Lord going before us as our commander. In every situation, do you know that? Every situation you face, every battle you face, the Lord is going before you as the commander in chief, and we have the assurance of victory. You remember those times you worried? Remember the times you thought it was it? I'm done, I'm cooked. Here you are tonight, you're still going. I can honestly say there were times in my life where I never thought I would see the sun rise again. And here I am, 50-some years later. And so here we see God's going to bring them to victory. I can also say, and I can also guarantee you, that God is going to bring you to victory. With the way that the city was brought down, that's nothing for the Lord, is it? The way that he does it? And this was going to encourage their faith, because there was no doubt whatsoever that it was the Lord their God that did it. That's why God does things in such a unique way. Man can't figure God out. Who would have ever thought for God to take this city that all they had to do was march around the city, blow the shofar, and the walls came tumbling down? You know? Amazing. And so let me ask you this, and we'll get into the chapter in a moment. Why do we worry? Really, why do we worry? Why do we doubt? Why do we stress out? Why do we waver? Because we know that with God all things are possible. That's what he told Mary and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. He said, nothing, with God, nothing is impossible. But oftentimes, we look at our Heavenly Father from a human perspective. How ridiculous is that? God is God, and nothing is impossible with God. Part of the reason that we worry and doubt and stress out and waver is that we try to figure out at times how God's going to do it. And I've heard people pray and tell God how to do it, as if he needs our instruction, as if he needs our advice. Yeah, we even at times tell him, Lord, do it this way. When his ways are not our ways, doesn't the Bible say that? Doesn't the Bible also say his thoughts are not our thoughts? And as far as his ways and thoughts are above the heavens, and so far as are his ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. And so let's take a look now at the way that God will bring down this incredible stronghold. I mean, it had to freak out the Israelites when they first saw this amazing structure, Jericho. Look at the first 5 verses. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 shofars, or trumpets, ram horns, before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Can you imagine that? Now, this is one time I can honestly say that this was Trump's fault. I couldn't resist. They blew the trump, and the walls came tumbling down. I couldn't, you know, my sick sense of humor. So here this first verse tells us this massive structure is securely shut. Yeah. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Imagine this fortress with all these mighty men, these soldiers, these men of valor. There was fear, panic. The whole country was faint-hearted, we read a couple of chapters ago, of the children of Israel. Why? Scripture tells us. They had heard how Israel's God had parted the Red Sea. All of a sudden they begin to tremble in their sandals. And how God's people destroyed the Amorites and Sihon and Og. And so the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them. Wow. And again, why do we worry? Our God is greater than anything. You know one of the number one problems in America today? A lack of the fear of the Lord. We don't have to fear him. Fear for us as believers means to reverence him. Which there's a little bit of fear there as well. But we live in a nation today, we live in a country today where there's no fear of God. But you know what? That doesn't surprise me because I've been teaching that 40 years, right out of God's word, that there would come a day when that would happen, when they would not fear God. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that they will even be haters of God. That's heavy, man. That is heavy. That a nation could sink that low. The Bible also says that just before the return of the Lord, there will be a stupor that will come over a nation. That's why people are so stupid today. Proverbs, I think it's 14:1, the writer says, I am more stupid than any man. I'm going, wow, that's written for today as well. Because the Bible clearly says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. So here's this fortress, fortified walls. These walls were 25 feet high with armed soldiers all the way around the whole city. They were also up to 20 feet thick. Can you imagine? Soldiers guarding the top of the walls. Incredible military power and strength. Considered by the Canaanites to be invincible. Oh, they thought nobody could ever break into this place or tear our walls down. It's a dangerous place to be when you think that your power and your strength and your protection without God is invincible. Because God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. And God tells Joshua, I have noticed this. What a wonderful promise, verse 2. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. They haven't even taken one step yet. They're still standing there observing the walls of Jericho. And God tells them in advance, hey, you know what? I've already got this, guys. He says, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Isn't that amazing? That's the God that we serve. He hasn't changed. Here is how we're going to do it, God says. And what does he do? He lays out instructions. That's what we have in verse 2 to verse 5. We're going to march around the city for 6 days. Can you imagine that if you're one of the 2 million Israelites out there? We're going to march around the city, around the walls for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around 7 times. Then the priests will blow the shofars or the trumpets. Then the people will shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city, 25 feet high, 20 feet thick, will fall down flat. Wow. What an incredible promise. God tells them in advance exactly what he's going to do. Now, if you were in Joshua's sandals, what would you be thinking? Man, I've got to go tell the people this. We're going to just march around the walls 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day? What are they going to think? That's what faith is all about. When God tells you something and you tell the people, not worrying about what they think, you've got God's word. And that's part of ministry for pastors. We deliver the mail. We give you God's word. I don't have to apologize. I don't have to make excuses. I don't have to, you know, spice it up. God's word's powerful. Never returns void. Accomplishes what it's sent forth to do. It's amazing. And so we see here the wonderful promises. Just what? 4 verses of what God's going to do, and the walls are going to fall down flat. Here's the key. And I think this is really, really important. God told Joshua that Jericho was already delivered into his hands. God tells him in advance. God also tells you and I in his word that we have victory. He tells you and I in advance what's going to happen to your life and to mine, especially after we take our last breath here on earth. Scripture's filled with incredible promises of what happens when you put off the old body and you put on the new glorified body in heaven. That's a promise. Do you believe that? If so, why are we trying to hold on to our flesh? Why are we trying to lift up what's fallen down? Now, I have down here what used to be up here. I have just found that the gravity gets stronger when you get older. Not really. It just comes tumbling down too. He also told Joshua the enemy is already defeated. Imagine that. Joshua standing in with all those people looking up at these mighty, valiant men upon the wall, and God saying, hey, the enemy is already defeated. What a promise. Even before they took the first step, they're just standing there waiting for Joshua to give them instructions. God told Joshua what's going to take place, and now Joshua is going to have to tell them. I would think that Joshua was pumped. I really do. I don't think he feared. Why? Because Joshua was a man of faith. He had the spirit of faith. We too fight an enemy who's defeated. Do you know that? Satan is a defeated foe. He is. He's been defeated by the cross of Jesus Christ and Christ shed blood on Calvary. He's a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross. We still fight battles every day. And we're going to fight battles until we leave this place. Maybe not as big as Jericho, but we've still got battles ahead. We've just started the contractions, the birth pangs that are going to come before the return of Jesus Christ, I believe. Because Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 what's going to take place just before his return. There will be pestilences. You know what pestilences are? Incurable diseases. They're not bugs, not pests. Pestilence, incurable disease, earthquakes, diverse places. We're having earthquakes all over the place. The day that they signed same-sex marriage into effect in Vermont. It was the first state to do it. Tina and I were living there. We had an earthquake in Vermont. When's the last time you heard of an earthquake in Vermont? There's earthquakes all over the place. Utah, Idaho, we've had them all over. And they're getting more and more intense. We had a little one this morning. I bet you didn't feel it. I was telling Sue, I pulled into the parking lot, and the little thing hanging from her mirror is going like this. I looked, and the windows weren't down. There wasn't a breeze blowing. But we were having a little shaker. We do live on the San Andreas Fault. But then Jesus lays out a list of things that are going to happen just before his return. And look at them. When you get a chance, read Matthew 24. And by the way, you know what the first thing is that Jesus tells his disciples when they ask what the end times will be like? He says, first of all, take heed that no one deceives you. We need to beware of deception. That's why we need to stay in the truth of God's word. Because we've got fake news all over the place. And so we're still going to fight battles every day. But we can be victorious. Why? Because we have to fight against sin, which is running rampant in our world today. But the good news is this. We have the assurance that the Lord has already won the battle. The war has already been won. Do you know that? It really has. We're going to heaven. Nothing's going to stop us. All that the Father has given Jesus Christ, no one's going to pluck us out of his hand. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's going to prepare a place for us. Where he is, we're going to be also. So why do we worry? Why do we stress? He tells us in advance what is going to happen. And you know what? We don't believe him at times. We, like Israel, need to realize that the battle belongs to the Lord. And it's not based upon our weapons, our strength, our expertise. For Israel, as well as for you and I today, it's a test of our faith. Their willingness to follow God's word completely, and a test for you and I. Are we going to follow God's word completely? So let's see how they do. Look at verse 6. Then Joshua. Do you know who in the Bible had no parents? Joshua, the son of Nun. Just kidding again. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And so watch what happens. And Joshua, he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns, the shofars, before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark advanced. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests, who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Imagine, you wonder what they were thinking, the soldiers up on the walls. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor say a word, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout! Then you shall shout. And so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Isn't God amazing the way he works? So what do you suppose this looked like from Jericho's perspective? I always like to put myself in Israel's sandals or whoever is in our text. But then take and put yourself in the sandals of the other side. This mighty fortress with these mighty warriors all armed up with their shields and their breastplates glistening in the sun and their swords. Imagine that. What do you suppose this looked like from Jericho's perspective, though? When these mighty men of valor looking down, going, what is this all about? Here we have the soldiers on the wall when all of a sudden the Israelites begin to approach, and they're going, here they come. And all of a sudden, they just walk around the wall. Imagine. They're ready for battle. I'm sure they're going, get ready, here they come. All hands on deck, batten down the hatches, secure the gates. And they look down and something strange happens. The Israelites march down and they make a left-hand turn. And then they keep going and they turn again. Unbelievable the way God works. This is a real true life account. That's the amazing thing of how God works. And they turn again and they turn again. And then they head back to the campground. And they camp out another night. And then in verse 12, notice what happens. Joshua rose early in the morning and the priest took up the ark of the Lord and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew at the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did for 6 days. These guys are probably really scratching their helmets about this time. What's with these guys? They've been camping out here for 6 days, and every day they come to the wall, and they march around, and then they go back. Talk about confusion. But at the same time, as we read in Scripture, and with the account of Rahab, not only were the soldiers faint-hearted, but the king was faint-hearted, all the leaders were faint-hearted, because they had heard about the God of Israel. This goes on for 6 days. Here they come again. And back to camp, 6 times. And again, what must these soldiers have thought? Maybe about this time, they probably thought, well, they're just going to do this every day, so we'll just kick back. Put your swords down, relax. Another day of marching, there they go again. Maybe even letting their guard down, maybe even laying down their weapons. But watch what God does. And again, it's God doing it, not Joshua. God told Joshua what he was going to do. And watch what happens. But it came to pass. Again, you've heard me say, that's 5 of my favorite words in all the Bible. Why? Because even with what we're going through in America right now, we can hold on to those 5 words. And it came to pass. It's going to come to pass. All of this is going to come to pass. And God has it, and God's going to see us all the way home. But it came to pass on the 7th day. The number 7 in the Bible has to do with completion. And so, on the 7th day, they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. And now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." So here we are, the day had finally come. They marched around 7 times. And all of a sudden, I'm going to give this a shot. Sue got a little taste of the rapture today when I blew this in my office. She started to come out of her seat. I don't know. It's been a while. There's no read in this thing. This came from Israel. Joshua gave it to me. Just kidding. Yeah. As you know, my gift is not music. Whew, I just got a rush out of it. Let me catch my breath, man. Okay, where am I? Oh, Calvary Palm Desert. Yeah. Just joking. Okay, you heard the shofar. For some, it was music to their ears. For others, it terrified them. Do you know when the trump of God sounds? It is going to be music to our ears. But it is going to mean terror for everybody else outside of Christ. Everybody in Jericho heard and saw the same things that Rahab did. Rahab was a prostitute. She ran a house of ill repute. She believed the word of God and she became a believer and put her faith and trust, the Bible says, in the living God. And God turned a house of ill repute into a sanctuary. Isn't that just like the God that we serve? Oh. He takes the scum of the earth, the offscourings, the outcasts. You've heard my testimony. And he makes us brand new. And he washes us off. And he makes us clean. He makes us whiter than snow. He robes us in righteousness. He casts our sea as far as the east is to the west, deepest part of the sea, remembers them no more. That is why the trumpets were good news. They were music to Rahab's ears. But for Jericho, fear, terror, judgment. What's going to happen when you hear the trump of God? Is it going to be music to your ears? I hope so. I hope so. I hope you're ready to go. Rahab was. They told her, okay, you get into your house and put a scarlet cord out the window. Scarlet speaks of blood. It's a representation of the blood of the Lamb and the Passover, as well as a foreshadow of things to come, the cross of Jesus Christ, where his scarlet blood was shed for us. And everyone, Joshua said, inside of that house will be saved. And here we see in verse 17, the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. All of Jericho heard the same message back in chapter 2, verse 10. I've seen it happen in family after family after family where the black sheep, if you would, the worst kid in the family gets saved. And from that, man, the rest of the family comes right after him. It happened in my household. It happened in Rahab's household. That's the way God works. He takes the worst of the litter, if you would, and he saves them and he cleans them and he brings the rest of the family. And here we see that Rahab and her family were saved. Not only that, she married one by the name of Salmon, who gave birth to Boaz, who married Ruth, and we have the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Rahab's name is included in the family tree of Jesus Christ. You see how God works? Isn't it amazing how God works? Wow. And guess what? He takes us. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, I'm not going to point out anybody's sin, but my Bible tells me he who has been forgiven much loves much. And he takes us off scourings of this world and he puts our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. Man, oh man. Not only that, your forwarding address is heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for you that where he is, that you may be also. We don't know what it's going to be looking like, but you know what? You'll never have a mortgage. How cool is that, guys? Never ever have a mortgage again. There's no second law of thermodynamics in heaven, so nothing will rust or rot or anything in heaven. Probably never have to paint the house. Nothing will rust. What a glorious day it's going to be when we get home. These are just glimpses. But how sad for those who rejected the true and the living God. God took the worst case scenario out of Jericho, which was a wicked, 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 wicked people, and he pulls Rahab out and her family. Everybody else had the same opportunity. It's like today, everybody in America has the same opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and it's up to you. Receive him or reject him. And you can't blame anybody else but yourself. God gave you a free will and a free won't. It's your choice. He also tells them to be careful. Verse 18, by all means abstain from accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. They had a lot of idols, a lot of pagan things. God did not want his people to be infected by paganism and idolatry. But all the silver and gold vessels of bronze and iron, verse 19, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. He kept all the valuable metals. And so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. I'm not going to do it again. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout. I should have had you guys shout. I should have blown the shofar and then had you shout. I feel like shouting when I read this section. This is great. God allows us to be part of it. God does the work, right? But he lets Joshua lead. He lets a priest blow the shofar. And he lets the people shout, and down come the walls. Look what it says here. This is incredible. That the wall fell down flat. It wasn't a mound of rubble. Flat. I mean, he just laid the walls out. 25 feet high, 20 feet deep. And there were houses inside the walls. I shared that a couple weeks ago. Rahab's house was in the wall of the city. And so her house was right there. And all the walls fell down, and there was her and her family in this house. They were saved. Not only that, they would sacrifice babies in Jericho. And they would put them in containers and hide them in the walls of the city. Can you imagine what happened when the walls came down? Clay pots with fetuses in them. Again, America is in big trouble. Over 63 million babies have been aborted in America. Tragedy. And that's the ones that have been recorded. I've got news for you. The trumpet's going to blow very, very soon. The walls are coming down. And there's going to be a shout going out from God's people. Hallelujah. We're going home. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now God's people move. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. They had to wipe them all out because God said to. You know what the rest of the story is when we get to 1 and 2 Samuel? Is King Saul was not obedient to God to completely wipe out the enemy, the Amalekites. And you know what happened? Because Saul was disobedient to God and didn't wipe out all of the Amalekites went full circle, and they were the ones that eventually would come back and kill Saul. The same holds true in our lives. When the Lord tells you to get something out of your life, get it out. Put it to death. Kill it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, kill it. Put it to death. We are to deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross, and follow him. Because if you don't put that sin to death, it will come full circle and it will take you out. I see it happen all the time. All the time. It's sad. It's tragic. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And again, do you see how God keeps his promises? Rahab was saved and her family. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. This really speaks to my heart. You know why? Because God saved my whole household. I was instrumental in leading my dad to the Lord. He was my hero. He really was when I was a little kid. He would travel a lot. And the whole time he was gone, I would be sitting behind the curtains in the front room window waiting for my dad to come home all day long. I never, ever, ever could imagine living without my dad. But my dad was angry at God. His dad took him and his two brothers to an amusement park, paid their way in, and never came back. They were all put in orphanages. Unfortunately, my dad was raped in the orphanage, and my dad was angry at God. You know the story. I've shared some things about how my dad used to grab me by the shirt and threaten me. James Taylor's song came on the radio one day. You've heard this. Driving down the street. Look down upon me, Jesus. You got to make me, help me take a stand. It's not even a Christian song. He slammed on the brakes and kicked me out of his car in Chino. I don't want to hear that Christian stuff. But guess what? God broke my dad's heart. And I was there the day that he went forward and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He called me on the phone the night before and said, I'm coming up to Lake Arrowhead. I want to go to church tomorrow. And I began to weep. And after I hung up the phone, I called the pastor and I said, if you have ever given an invitation in your life, you better give one tomorrow. Lo and behold, at the end of the message, we all stood, close your eyes and pray. And I'm watching my dad's feet. And he gives the invitation and there they go. Right down to the front of the church. And I followed him down there as he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. A few months prior to that, I led my mom to Jesus. My mom would have seizures and she was just about ready to die. I went over and led her in the sinner's prayer. You know the sad thing about that? If I would have told my dad, he would have killed me. But now they're both in heaven. Just like we see here. Father's household. All of them. Her father, mother, brothers. I can say that about my mom, my dad, my brother got saved. You know that story. My sisters. And isn't it amazing how God works? He still works the same way today. So let me encourage you, maybe those of you watching on live stream or those even here tonight, don't give up on praying for your unsaved loved ones. Live the gospel. Love them to life. Don't beat them to death. And they will see a difference in your life. And one by one, God will pick them off. Just like we see here. Verse 24. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers from Joshua sent to spy out the Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. Guess what? 1 Kings 16. A guy by the name of Hael tried to rebuild the city, and guess what? He lost his firstborn and his youngest. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. God says what he means, it means what he says. And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. As we close, that promise is still for you. The Lord is with you. And I would hope tonight that we would be encouraged in our faith. No matter what you're going through, it's hard for a lot of people with what we're dealing with today. Wearing the mask, the school system, you can't go out to dinner, all this stuff going on. But guess what? The Lord is with you. And if you own a restaurant, guess what? If you're a believer and you own that restaurant, that's God's restaurant. He's going to take care of it. Look out. The walls are going to come down, pal. God's going to take care of this whole situation. But he doesn't want us to worry and stress, get angry, respond in the flesh. God's army travels on its knees. We have the power of God. We have the Word of God. We have the promises of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have everything that Joshua had and more. And I got news for you. God is working right now. He's doing exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask. And guess what? Victory is coming soon. And victory belongs to the Lord. And he's going to allow us to be part of it. We're going to shout out, folks, one day. What a glorious day it's going to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the way that you work. Please forgive us of trying to figure out how you're going to do it and trying to tell you how to do it. May we just walk by faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Help us to walk by faith, not by feeling. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to walk by feeling or to walk by faith. Faith in you, faith in your word, faith in all of your promises, Lord. Lift up our hearts, Father. Give us joy. Lord, I even feel like shouting tonight myself. Thank you, God. I just want to shout and give thanks to you for what you have done and what you continue to do in all of our lives. Help us, Lord, to rest in you, to trust you, to hold on to your word. Because, Lord, every word, every promise is going to come to pass. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.